now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello everybody, welcome to the program. My name is Roland. This is my program. It's called Talk to a Pastor. I think you're going to like this program. Yes, I think you're going to like this program. Welcome everybody, welcome to this program. We're going to talk about some very interesting things today. I'm going to open up my mailbox or my email box. And I'm going to tell you a couple of as many as I can, emails that have come in, and the kind of questions I've been getting, and some answers. So let's talk about it, shall we? Okay, first of all, first question comes from a lady who says that she recently moved into a place and now something is scaring her at night. There's something dark and scary around, and now she hears things in her mind. It's telling her things that are not very nice. And she's tried this and she's tried that, and she wants to know about that situation. Well, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that there is such a thing as evil. There is. Now, of course, there's a possibility a person can have an overactive imagination. Now, of course, that's possible. But frankly, King, for the most part, If a person sees something dark at night or scary at night or hears things in their mind, chances are something is there that's trying to influence them or trying to scare them. See, that's what evil does. You know, it's like when you watch scary movies when you're a little kid and you watch scary movies, you know, Dracula movies and monster movies and so forth. What are the monsters trying to do? They're trying to scare you. Well, that's what the naughty things are trying to do. They're trying to scare you or influence you or both. See? Now, we have to say that there is such a thing as evil. You can't taste it or touch it or smell it, but sometimes you can hear it when it talks to you in your mind. There is such a thing as evil. There is good and there is evil. And evil likes to bother people or lead them astray. Now, so let's say it's nighttime and all of a sudden there's something scary. You see something dark in the corner of your room. Some big, tall, dark figure, a hooded figure standing there in the corner of your room. Or you wake up during the night and something's on top of you, pressing down on you. It's like sitting on you or something. Or you wake up and there's just something scary moving around in there. Well, there is something there. Okay? So, what do you do? Well, what I always tell people is to quietly cry out to God. Cry out to your Creator. Cry out to God. Now, the question is, why are these scary things hurting us? Well, that's what they like to do. They get a kick out of it. They get a charge out of it. That's their job. That's what they do. They try to scare you. But what you have to realize is that first of all, they don't have any power over you. The only power that they have is the power that you give them by reacting to them. Okay? And the second thing you have to realize is that anything that's naughty or bad or evil is subject to our Creator. Evil is subject to good, light overcomes darkness, and so on and so forth. But now let's talk about it some more. Let's talk about how to get into a frame of mind where these things will stop bothering you. We'll talk about that after this very important announcement, so stay tuned. Would you like a really positive attitude? If so, you must learn how not to be upset. If you are easily upset, it is because you are too reactive. In order to be calm, you must learn the secret of responding to inner principle instead of external tease. To learn the secret of not reacting with resentment and upset, go to commonsensecounseling.org, where you can download a free introductory copy of the meditation exercise. By relating humbly to inner principle, you can overlook others' cruelty and also overlook your own negative thoughts and emotions. By having remained unmoved, you are free to discern the meaning of the moment and respond with patience. The self-control you receive will restore confidence and a positive attitude based on a love of principle and having patience with others. Visit commonsensecounseling.org and start living instead of reacting. My name is Roland. We're talking about some of the questions that have come to me by email from listeners and from visitors to my website. We're talking about scary things at night, and yes, there are scary things, so you want to be very aware. That's what you want to be. The less aware you are, the more likely you are to have those things impinging upon you and bothering you. So you want to be aware. Now, what do I mean by aware? But when I say aware, I mean not caught up in your thoughts, not lost in thinking, daydreaming, planning and scheming and rehearsing the future and reliving the past, which is where most of us are lost most of the time. When we're not lost in our food, we're not lost in our, in our texting, when we're not lost in a computer or watching a video or listening to music. See, or lost in a conversation with somebody, when we're not lost in those things, or lost in our drugs, or lost in our marijuana or alcohol, then we're lost in thinking. We go down, down, down into thinking, into imagination, where we're down there, we're worrying and we're planning and scheming, and eventually what we're mainly doing is worrying, trying to rearrange the past and trying to plan and scheme for the future so we don't make more mistakes like we did in the past. But the problem is, when you're lost in your thinking, when you're lost in worry, when you're lost in imagination, that's where you are subject to evil. That's where you're subject to untoward influence. See, that's where you're suggestible. Down there in your imagination and your thinking. See? So you don't want to be lost in thinking. So what do you do? Well, see, some people try ineffective things. They try, chanting, and they try mantras, and they try relaxation techniques, and they try all kinds of things like that. Or they try blanking thought. They try humming, or making one sound, what do most of us do? We try to distract ourselves from negative thoughts. We try to distract ourselves by, putting on music or the TV or something. Or we try to think positive thoughts. There's negative thoughts, so we try to force ourselves to think positive thoughts. But that's not the answer. The answer is not struggling with it. The answer is not trying to blank thought. Nor is it trying to pretend that it's not there. The answer is to become objective to it, to mentally stand back from it. See, that's the answer. Mentally stand back and become aware, so that you're not subject to thought, so that you're above thought. It's like coming up to the surface of the water. You know, when you're way down deep in the ocean down there, see, then it's all dark, and see, you're all surrounded by water and scary, fish and what have you. And so you come up to the surface, up, 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 up to the surface, and finally you break through the surface, and there you are. And there's a beautiful blue sky and the fresh air and the sunshine. Okay, that's where you want to be. See? So when there are thoughts, and when you catch yourself being lost in thoughts, then you snap out. You snap out of it, and you're no longer lost in thought. Then you go along for a while, there comes some negative thoughts, and you observe the negative thoughts. You see them, there they are. You're not trying to pretend they're not there. There they are, but you just don't pay any attention to them. You don't struggle with them. You don't indulge them. See, that's the secret, to get up and above, to be above the thought and observe the thought. See? Same thing with naughty thoughts. Naughty thoughts, lustful thoughts, hateful thoughts, thoughts you wouldn't you're embarrassed about and you wouldn't put on the front page of the New York Times? Okay, well, there they are. Where do they come from? Are they your thoughts? Do you really, really want to have those thoughts, or where do they come from? See? If they were your thoughts, you could control them at will. If you control them at will, then chances are you're being influenced by something. So what do? Stand back. Get above it and observe it. You're no longer lost in it. You're no longer subject to it. See how simple it is? All right, well, you need to get my meditation. I have a free 5-minute meditation, which is very good. I have a 4-part classic meditation. I don't sell very many of them, incidentally. I ask for a $10 donation or what you can afford. But there's not very many $10 donations that come in. I don't know what people are spending their money on. They got plenty of money to buy hamburgers and go to ball games and buy music DVDs and go to movies and buy a new pair of shoes. But they don't have a few dollars to donate to an old pastor to help him out and to get themselves a meditation that might literally, you know, I was going to say save your life. Well, it could save your life. See, you're never worse off than when you're not aware, when you're lost in your thinking, lost in your imagination. When you're lost in thinking, you can make mistakes. When you're lost in thinking, you are suggestible. And you can make the wrong move or do the wrong thing, thinking it was your very own thought. Okay? So some people, you know, some people have voices that talk to them. Well, voices, what do they say? It's always the same old thing. They're always saying something like, you're no good. You know, God hates you. You know, everybody hates you. The world would be better off without you. Blah, 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 blah. It's always the same old story. See, different variations on it. Or it says, oh, you committed the unforgivable sin and God won't forgive you and blah, 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 blah. You have to learn how to stand back and observe it without being subject to it. Don't struggle with it. Don't believe it. Don't disbelieve it. Just observe it. Hello, everyone. Many people have emotional and mental health issues. Many people have been diagnosed with adult ADD, bipolar disorder, social anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, depression. Many Christians would like to hear something positive and practical from someone who successfully overcame such issues. I'd like to tell you about a friend of mine. His name is Mike. He wrote a book called Mike's Story. Mike got unstuck, conquered his issues, and left them behind. Mike wrote to me about his successes, and I was so excited and moved by his story that I helped him put it into a book. It's called Mike's Story. I'd like you to preview the book and perhaps even obtain a copy of Mike's Story in paperback, Kindle, or Barnes & Noble Nookbook. If you'd like to preview Mike's Story, go to talktoapastor.org. That's www.talktoapastor.org and look for Mike's Story. Roland, life could be beautiful, life could be sweet, if you could get out of your thinking and come up to the bright sunshine and become aware again and hear the birds singing. And do you know that when you are aware, when you're lost in thinking, when you're down in your imagination, planning and scheming and having negative thoughts and trying to plan for the future and worry and doubts and fears and worries and doubts and fears and naughty thoughts and hateful thoughts and revenge thoughts, you know, down there, that's where evil confers with the soul. That's where evil makes its approach. See, misleading you. But when you are not lost in thinking, when you come up and you're aware, you are closer to God. You are closer to God when you are aware and not lost in thinking. See? So now can you see why drugs are not so good and marijuana is not so good and alcohol? And can you see why excessive, why getting lost in music and all these things, can you see why they're not so good? Because they pull you away from that aware state. See, that doesn't mean that you can't be aware and do things. For example, here's the example. You know, I've given this so many times, but it's easy to understand, so I'm going to give it again. There are two ways to watch a movie. One way of watching the movie is when you're totally lost in the movie. You get so pulled into the movie, see, that you become part of the movie. It's like you're in the movie, you forget yourself. You are totally lost, okay? And that's where you become subject to untoward influences and suggestions and so on and so forth. But another way to watch the movie is to be aware. See, and when you're lost in the movie, you're also subject to someone sneaking up behind you and nabbing your purse or stealing your wallet or something, see, because you're so lost in what you're doing. But the other way of watching the movie is to be sitting there and you see the people around you. There's a guy next to you and he's eating popcorn. Over there's a lady and she's putting on her glasses, and there are the curtains and there's the projector and there are the lights, you know, on the wall, little emergency lights and so forth. So now you're aware of you're aware of the theater. See, you're aware of yourself sitting in a chair. There you are. There are your hands on the armrests. There you are. And now you watch the movie lightly. So now you can enjoy, you can watch the movie and enjoy the movie and know what the plot is and so forth. Enjoy it lightly, but you're not lost in it. So you must learn how to go through life where you're more aware. That's what the meditation's for. And that's when your prayer will be most effective, when you are aware. See, if you're down in your thinking, why down there, if you're lost in your thinking, why down there the devil might whisper words to you. See? But if you're aware, and you're objective, and you're standing back, you're closer to God. And then any thoughts that come, any words that come in prayer are more likely to be, you know, heavenly inspired. See? Are more likely to be reasonable and rational or inspired than they are if you're lost out in your imagination. And when you are aware, that's your protection. And you parents, your awareness is the protection for your children. An aware parent is the most important thing. So some little children see scary things at night, or they say, yeah, they do. Little children, see, little children are closer to God, and then they become aware that there's something scary there. So if a little child is scared of something, then the aware parent is there with the little child. See? You be there. Your calm presence. In fact, if you're an aware person, very close to God, by being aware and not lost in planning and scheming and all your ego thoughts about rearranging the past and planning for the future, and you're not worried yourself, and you're not angry yourself, and you're not upset yourself, see? When you're upset, you're also lost down in thought. So there's the calm parent. The presence of a calm parent is likely to make evil things go away. See, they're scared when an aware person is there, because why? You're very close to God. And the aware person quietly cries to his creator or her creator, cries out to God. And God hears that prayer and answers. And God may move with tremendous power, with a power far beyond any power you could possibly imagine, incalculable power upon the evil thing, and it will scoot. See? So, you want to be aware for yourself. So, if it's nighttime and there's something scary, quietly cry out to your Creator. Okay? And then quietly meditate as I teach. My meditation helps you to come up and out of thinking and to become objective, to become aware, to become anchored in the present, to become closer to God. Meditate a bit, see, for objectivity, and you'll be safe. See, and the more aware you are, the less you're lost in worries, doubts, and fears, and upsets. The more aware you are, the less likely you are to be bothered by any of these naughty things, and the less likely your children are to be bothered by naughty things. If you're fighting with your husband and you're angry and upset and resentful, there you go, resentful. If you're resentful, see, You're opening yourself up, see, to be harassed and bothered by naughty things. All right? All right. Now, so I think I've covered that question rather well. Now, here's another question. Here's a lady talking about divorce. She said she's always tried not to get divorced because she, when her and her husband are talking about divorce, her child becomes upset. Well, of course, children don't like divorce. Children do not like divorce. And there's an excellent book. Well, the first book I want to recommend to you is my book called The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. See, a lot of people come with questions. My husband and I this, and my boyfriend and I that. See, I really, when they come at free chat, I can't answer that kind of a question at free chat. I just can't. I can't do counseling there. And I can't give a little short answer. See? In relationship questions, there's a lot of water under the bridge. There are always two sides to the story. There's always mistakes on both sides. I just can't. But I can give a resource. I'll be right back. Hi, this is Roland. Do you have relationship issues? Okay, who doesn't have relationship issues? That's why I want to tell you about my most popular book, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Do you and your partner argue all the time? Do you want to understand men and women better? Are you in a relationship and thinking of getting married? Then you will want to preview The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. You'll find out how to relate better with your partner, reduce your stress, and possibly even heal your relationship. Visit www.talktoapastor.org and look for The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. You'll be glad you did. Oh, incidentally, I want to tell you about a special that we have. For a donation of any amount, I'll send you a PDF of The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage by email as a token of my appreciation. That's for a donation of any amount. I'll send you a PDF of The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage by email so you can start reading it right away. Yes, my book, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage, is outstanding. People, it's my most popular book. People really like it. It's a good book. It's a page-turner. You know, I talk about... my wife cheated on me. What should I do? My wife asked me to leave. What should I do? You know, I resent my husband. What should I do? You know, why do we argue all the time? What about my relatives that are trying to ruin our marriage? You know, what about sex? And all these questions, I cover them in the book. It's just excellent. See? You really ought to get this book. It'll be so good. So my point is that if someone comes to free chat to ask a question about a relationship, then I will say I can't answer it here. It wouldn't be fair. But I have written a book. I spent hours, dozens or hundreds of hours, over the years, over 25 years of helping people. I've distilled it all down into a beautiful book, very deep, very interesting, a real page-turner book. So get the book. See, that's the best. You'll find the answer. If you're sincerely looking for answers, you'll find it in the book, okay? So you should really get The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. That's the basic book. Now, I also have an advanced book, Advanced Relationship Strategies for Building Relationships. It's called Putting the Forever Back in Love. Is that not a beautiful title? Oh, it's such a good book. So you could get both of them. Each of them are over 300 pages. But if you were to get one of the first one, I'd say get The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. If you like that one, then get the advanced book, Putting the Forever Back in Love. I also have some nice programs on Blog Talk Radio. If you go to my website, commonsensecounseling.org, or talktoapastor.org, you go there, look for relationships, click relationships on my relationships blog, and there they are. There will be the books, there will be the audio you can listen to, there will be lots of articles to read. Okay? All right, so relationships. So now you got the idea. Okay, so we were talking, a lady said that when they talked of divorce, it bothered their son, and I said, of course. So you've got to get my book, read it. And then another book you could get, which is good, is called Between Two Worlds, The Secret Emotional Life of Children of Divorce. Between Two Worlds, The Emotional Life of Children of Divorce. It's by a lady named Elizabeth Marquardt. Look it up, Between Two Worlds, Elizabeth Marquardt. It's an excellent book. You'll see how divorce affects the kids. So should you stay together for the sake of the kids? Yes. If there's not violence, then stay together. Hi, this is Pastor Roland. I get a lot of emails, but it's always a special treat to go to my mailbox and find a card or letter from a listener. I love letters from listeners, so I want to make sure you have my address so you can write to me. So here it is. Send your cards and letters to Roland Trujillo. I'll spell it for you. That's RolandTrujillo. Post Office Box 854, Berkeley, California, 94701. Here it is again, Roland Trujillo, Post Office Box 854, Berkeley, California, 94701. I look forward to reading your letter. Yes, please do write to me. Send me an email. Better yet, get the meditation. Go to commonsensecounseling.org and look at the resources there. Check out the free 5-minute meditation. I've got a meditation app, a meditation mobile app for your Android or iPhone. It's free. You can take the meditation with you wherever you go, free. My name is Roland. Thanks for listening. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.